that we may speak only that which is pleasing to you, words that build up each other. Open our hearts, O God, that we may experience your grace, and that grace to be sufficient for us. For we ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
I preach you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please sit. This morning we want to begin by asking you to listen to what might be for many people a very familiar story. And if you have your Bibles, you can follow it in the book of Exodus, chapter 3. So we invite you to listen and then we will talk about it.
And I will make the Egyptians favorably disposed toward this people, so that when you leave, you will not go empty-handed. Every woman is to ask her neighbor, and any woman living in her house, for articles of silver and gold, and for clothing, which you will put on your sons and daughters. And so we will plunder the Egyptians. Chapter 4. Moses answered, "What if they do not believe me, or listen to me and say, 'The Lord did not appear to you'?" Then the Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" "A staff," he replied. The Lord said, "Throw it on the ground." Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a snake, and he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, "Reach out your hand and take it by the tail." So Moses reached out and took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. "This," said the Lord, "is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you." Then the Lord said, "Put your hand inside your cloak." So Moses put his hand into his cloak, and when he took it out, it was leprous, like snow. "Now, put it back into your cloak," he said. So Moses put his hand back into his cloak, and when he took it out, it was restored by the rest of his flesh. Then the Lord said, "If they do not believe you, or pay attention to the first miraculous sign, they may believe the second. But if they do not believe these two signs, or listen to you, take some water from the Nile and pour it on the dry ground. The water you take from the river will become blood on the ground." Moses said to the Lord, "Oh Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue." The Lord said to him, "Who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say." But Moses said, "Oh Lord, please send someone else to do it." Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, "What about your brother, Aaron the Levite? I know he can speak well. He is already on his way to meet you, and his heart will be glad when he sees you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth. I will help both of you speak and will teach you what to do. He will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if he were your mouth and as if you were God to him. But take this staff in your hand so you can perform miraculous signs with it." Then Moses went back.
As we go through our theme of living our core values, this month we're talking about communication. God speaks to Moses. Moses obviously was in the wrong place. A man who had been brought up in the house of Pharaoh, a man who was subjected to Egyptian knowledge and understanding of the world, one who had an experience of Pharaoh, was sitting on a mountainside looking after sheep. And it was there that God would encounter Moses, attract his attention, and give him the task that Moses was born to carry out. God attracted his attention with the burning bush. Moses saw this phenomenon of a tree burning, it's on fire, but it was not being destroyed. And so God caught his attention and he went over to look. And then God reminded Moses that he was standing on holy ground because he was in God's presence. And of course, it reminds us that when we are in God's presence, we are required not only to be attentive, but to be reverent and respectful. And so Moses would take off his shoes, and God would call him by name. Moses. Moses. Of course, it was God who influenced Pharaoh's daughter to give him that name, and that was the name by which God knew him. And so Moses would acknowledge his name and therefore respond, "Here I am." And God identifies himself to Moses so that Moses would be certain to whom he was speaking. God would say to him, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And realizing that he was indeed in the presence of God, Moses would hide his face because he was afraid to look upon God. And so God took the opportunity to give Moses his task, his life's work. So God would say to him, "Come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." That was the task. Moses, understanding his own weaknesses, his own lack of self-esteem, would respond, "Who am I? Who am I to go to Pharaoh?" And God, recognizing his fear and his trepidation, would say to him, "I will go with you. I am the God of your ancestors. I will go with you." But even that does not convince Moses. He acknowledges that if he is to do this task of leading the people of Israel out of slavery in Egypt, he needed the tools of leadership. He needed authority. He needed power. And of course, he needed the ability to communicate. So he would ask God, "If I go to the people and I say to them, 'Your God has sent me,' and they say, 'Who are you? Who is this God?' What am I to say to them?" And so God gives him the authority. "Say to them, 'I am has sent you. The God of their forefathers, the God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, the God who is unchangeable, the God who called them into this special covenant relationship, that God has sent you. That is your authority. When you say that to the elders of Israel, they will listen to you." But Moses acknowledged that authority without power is useless. And so he asked God, "So what then would I do?" And then God gives him miraculous power. "What is that in your hand?" "A staff. Throw it on the ground." And he throws it on the ground and it becomes a snake. And of course, Moses himself is afraid of this snake. And then God says to him, "Hold it by the tail." And he holds it by the tail and it becomes a staff again. Then God says to him, "Push your hand inside of your coat." And he does that and he takes out his hand and it is leprous. And then God says, "Put it back in." He takes it out and it is normal and healthy again. And then God says, "If they don't believe those two signs, take some water from the Nile and pour it on the ground and it will become blood. And that will convince them that you not only have authority from God, but you also have power from God." And Moses, of course, realizing that he's being overpowered here, plays his last trump. "Lord, I have never been eloquent, I've never been able to speak. Moses, it is said, you know, had an impediment in his speech. And God said, okay, what about your brother Aaron? He is eloquent. He speaks well. He will go with you. I will tell you what to say, and you will tell Aaron, and Aaron will speak for you to Pharaoh. Moses accepts the task because God never chooses the wrong person for God's work. If we had to choose disciples for Christ, we certainly would not have passed by the shore of Galilee and choose fishermen. We probably would have gone to the temple and looked for some bright, intelligent scribes and Pharisees to be disciples. But God in Christ was looking for certain characteristics. Courage, fortitude, persistence, an understanding and a reliance on God, because those are the characteristics that fishermen have when they go out to sea. They will toil all night and catch nothing, but the next day they will be back. And so when God makes a choice, God does not choose the wrong person. God knows us better than we know ourselves. And so when God says, this is your task, we have to understand that God knows that we are the right person for this job. And so God will call Moses, and Moses goes to Pharaoh with Aaron, and as we say, the rest is history. Moses, with all his faults, would complete the task that God gave him to liberate the children of Israel out of slavery in Egypt. A seemingly impossible task, but God was with him, and as long as he remained obedient to God, he was able to fulfill that task, to fulfill God's purpose for him, the purpose for which he was born. Today, God is calling us through the church to take on the task of being intentional disciples of Christ. It means that every day that we awake, we must remind ourselves, I am a disciple of Christ, and I have a task to do for God today. God has called me to do this task. Our gospel reminds us, Jesus said, you didn't choose me. I chose you. And Paul, after his experiences in the church and doing his task diligently, Paul could come to the conclusion that he was born to be the disciple, the apostle to the Gentiles. His whole experience of life, growing up as a Jew, as a Pharisee of Pharisees, prepared him to be a faithful disciple. And so we must understand that when, in these days where God has called us to make disciples, to go out into the world and make a difference, that is the task for which we were born. And God has and will continue to equip us for the task. God calls us by name. And that is part of why we ask parents to name this child at baptism. Because that is the name by which God will call that individual. Of course, these days we have all kinds of funny ways of arriving at the name for our children. But the fact is, God will accept what we bring, and God will call the individual by that name. Because you see, when God communicates with us, yes, he could communicate with us in a group, but God speaks to each individual personally. Because God knows each of us. He knows our gifts. He knows what we are capable of doing. And so God is calling us today to be disciples, faithful disciples, so that by our words, yes, but more so by our example, by our actions, by the way we interact with people, we will influence others to become disciples of Christ. And if we think that this task is not urgent, all you have to do is to remember the headlines of the last few days. 7 murders in 24 hours. A 15-year-old cutting off his mother's hand. The hand that nurtured him from birth. The hand that allowed him to grow to reach 15 years. And you know, some of us might be saying, well, all those things not happening by me. They're happening on the other side of town. They're happening in the north or in the south. But you know, we have a saying, when your neighbor's house is on fire, wet yours. Because if it is taking place over there today, it won't be very long until it reaches over here. But you see, we are able to make a difference. We are able to convince some of these young people that they were not born to be found at the side of a road with 18 bullets in them. God created them for a purpose, a noble purpose. But they have made the wrong choices. And with our help and our support and God's guidance, they could change their ways. But we have to do what God is calling us to do. And we do not have to be afraid, because God goes with us. God will not allow us to go out there by ourselves. God has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit, and we need to understand, as Jesus says, we can rely on the Holy Spirit to tell us what to do and to tell us what to say. But we have to be attentive to God. We can't go out there feeling that we could do it on our own. We can't. And God is going with us. And God is inviting us to listen, to be attentive. You know, we must understand that, like Moses, we might be idling away our lives because we're not doing what God is calling us to do. God might be calling us to some ministry, to be a server, to be a lay minister. Even God might be calling us to the ordained ministry. But we keep putting all these obstacles in front of God and not realizing that what we are doing, like Moses, is wasting all that time of preparation that we had before in our lives. Not understanding that all the things that we've been taught from childhood all these things are preparing us to do not the task that we want, but the task that God has called us to do. And we have to be clear that God has chosen us to do this task. God has given us the gifts to do it. God gives us the authority as a disciple of Christ. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, what we need to do is to strive to be obedient to God's call. Many of you would know the story of Clive Pantin. Clive Pantin was Minister of Education in the NAR government. And as a past principal of Fatima College, he was committed to improving the education system in the country. And if you hear him tell the story every day, he would be running up and down the place, being a hands-on minister, trying to get things done and trying to get things improved, until, as he put it, God put him on his back so that he could look up. He had a heart attack, and that changed his life. Because while lying there in the hospital, he could only look up and realize that God was calling him to something else. And that's how he began to conceive and establish that organization that is called FEEL, which helps hundreds of people who need all kinds of material things, all kinds of support. And FEEL continues today, even though he has passed on. The moral of that story is that if we don't pay attention to what God is saying, God might decide to gain our attention in a way that we would not appreciate, or a way that would not be comfortable for us. When we go to exercise our right, and Jesus gives us the right, he says, ask and you will receive. When we go to exercise that right of going before God in prayer, yes, we must ask, because God desires to satisfy our needs. But we must also listen, because God has a lot to say to us. And if every time you go before God and God speaks to you either directly in words or a dream or a vision, or God sends somebody to give you this message, we have to listen and we have to obey. We have to understand that if God says, I want you to do this, we are able to do it because God has given us the gifts and God is going with us, so that the task that God is calling us to might seem impossible for others. But it is not impossible for us. It is not impossible for all those who call themselves Christians to turn around this place. The politicians obviously can't do it. And if we want to regain those things that we used to say about Trinidad as a paradise, then we have to change it. And it is urgent. And when the church calls each of us to intentional discipleship and disciple making, that is part of God's call to us to live as disciples of Christ, to be attentive to God so that God is able to point us in the direction that God wants us to go to make a difference, to transform lives, to make this a better place for God's people. So God, using the words of the prophet Isaiah is speaking to us today. Who will go for me? Whom shall I send? And let us pray that we will be so attentive to God, we will so understand that God needs us, we will recognize that we have the gifts, and more than that, God will go with us so that we will be able to fulfill that call, that purpose which God is giving us. That purpose that will give meaning and relevance to our lives, so that this journey that we call life will not simply be a journey from the womb to the tomb. It means that our lives will make a difference in the lives of others, a positive difference, so that at the end of the day, we will have the satisfaction of knowing that in our own way, where God placed us, we were able to do God's will. We were able, like Moses, to complete the task that God has given us. Who will go for me? Whom shall I send? Our response, like that of the prophet, should always be, "Here I am, Lord, send me." The Lord be with you.